Hey, this is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to episode 146 of the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast.
In this episode, I'm excited to share my conversation with Andrew from Butter's Barbecue in Mathis, Texas. Mathis is about an hour and a half to 2 hours from San Antonio, 2.5 to 3 hours from Austin. This one is interesting because his story, Andrew's story, and his introduction to barbecue was like a lot of people's introduction to barbecue, and it's strange because in Texas you assume that everyone's had Central Texas style barbecue, meat market style Texas barbecue, when in reality, outside of Austin and outside of Central Texas, barbecue is different. It's served differently. And so his first introduction was at Franklin Barbecue, and he was blown away. But it's interesting because when I went to Texas and worked there for a year, I'm coming from California. I had never even seen how brisket's cut properly, how it's plated. I saw platters, but I never watched it plated or knew about scratch-made sausage, how simple and delicious pork ribs can be. I've always had them slathered in sauce. And so it's interesting how he shares that same understanding and that same epiphany for Central Texas style barbecue that I had, that so many people have had. And it's interesting, he worked at a refinery at a young age, age 19, and then he had this epiphany for Texas-style barbecue, and he decided to make his own pit and then sell barbecue, and then eventually he got a pit from Primitive Pits, from JD at Primitive Pits, and so that way he could up his capacity. And it's good because they made the Texas Monthly Top 25 New Barbecue Joints list this spring, so his business has boomed, and he had a visit from Daniel Vaughn, and that helped spark a lot of things like it does for so many barbecue joints across Texas and outside of Texas. But I know you're going to really enjoy this. Its food looks amazing. It sounds amazing. They have barbecue on Saturday and Sunday. It's worth the drive, and it's definitely worth visiting Andrew and telling him that you said hello and trying his food. I know he'd appreciate it. He's a nice guy, and I know you're going to love this interview. And this episode of the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast is brought to you by The Smoke Sheet. The Smoke Sheet is available at bbqnewsletter.com. It's a weekly newsletter. Comes in your inbox on Wednesdays, and it's just really great. It's I know I've said it a million times. If you've listened to this podcast, you know I'm a big fan of it. I've been a fan since day one, and I'm glad that we partnered up because they are working hard. It's they being Ryan Cooper, who is at BBQ Tourist, and Sean Ludwig, who is at NYC BBQ. The two of them travel so much. If you follow them on social media, you'll see that they're somewhere all the time. I don't even know how they sleep. Sean covers the East Coast and New York so extensively, and he travels outside of that area too. And then Ryan, he travels all over the place. It's like they have the same addiction that we all have, and it's a great news source. They do lots of original content now. And at the beginning they were doing little, now they do tons. And so it's got original content, which is worth reading, and you'll like it, as well as information on new barbecue joints and closures and where people are moving from barbecue joint or opening new ones up, a second location. They have information on barbecue YouTube stuff, on podcasts like the one that you're listening to or the YouTube stuff that you're watching, Vimeo stuff, as well as a barbecue recipe of the week. Chock full of tons of information. Again, it's available at bbqnewsletter.com. That's bbqnewsletter.com. The Smoke Sheet is barbecue news worth consuming. Check it out. And if you're digging these, I would like it if you would subscribe. That way you don't miss out. I do at least one or two of these per week, if not more. I have a YouTube channel. If you're listening to us on podcast only, at youtube.com/kevinsbbqjoints. The YouTube version of this, as well as visits to butcher shops and barbecue joints and tons of cool stuff. And then also, I have a website at kevinsbbqjoints.com with links to all the podcasts, links to all the YouTube stuff, original content, lists of barbecue pop-ups and underground stuff in Los Angeles, and tons of new content coming out. So I want you guys to check that out. Head over there. And then I'm available on all the social medias at kevinsbbqjoints, all one word. Check me out, send me a message. But thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate it, and maybe I'll see you out on the barbecue trail someday. Thanks so much. Well, good evening. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. How you doing?
Doing well. Sorry. We always do like a little formality, not like I could just jump in. Yeah. So you said you finished up your day. What was today like?
It was good. We sold about 11 briskets today.
Okay.
So that's pretty much the average when it comes to like a Wednesday, Thursday. We start to cook a little bit more come Friday night for Saturday, and then More on Saturday night for Sunday. Sunday's just our busiest day by far.
What are you looking at on Sunday? Like about over 20?
I've seen 18, but on average we're doing about 15, 16.
Okay. That's a decent amount. That's a good amount.
Yeah, it's called for the new pit. We got a pit from Primitive Pits. I don't know if you saw that recently.
Mm-hmm.
So what we do with that is we run it Friday, because come Saturday we're cooking the barbacoa and the more briskets. It just doesn't fit on the 500.
Okay, so right now what do you have? You have a 500?
I have a 500 that was built custom. Like just, we had no schematics on it. We bought a tank. We bought, you know what I mean? We bought two tanks and
wow,
some pipe in a stack. And we had a welder, a good friend of ours, Bobby from Edroid, slap it together for us. And it works. It works well. You know what I mean? It works.
But did you know how to build a pit prior to that?
No, but I mean, they look pretty, I mean, an offset burner is an offset. You got,
for
you
sure.
Got,
yeah.
You got a, so, that's how we just kind of based the design. We did a 500 with two doors with the semi-insulated firebox with the 10-inch stack to an 8-inch reducer. And I mean, it holds well. We have one temperature cage on it.
Wow, it's a that's cool. Tight. That's awesome, though.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's how we've done it for the first 2 years prior. And then we got the pit from Primitive, and we started running it on the weekends. And it works well. It works damn good. You know what I mean? And it eats a lot more wood. Well, I say that, but it's in compared to the 500 that we've been running. So,
and that's 1,000.
Yeah, we got a 1K.
Okay.
A 1K. Yeah, to patina offset. We got some upper racks on it. Beautiful.
JD's pits are beautiful. They're gorgeous, and he has the mind for like the thermodynamics and all that crazy.
Yeah. Thing. Well, I mean, you got that. We've been running it for almost a month now on the weekends, and I love it. I love it. It works well. It's very even. You know what I mean? It's got a lot more gauges on there compared to just the one that we're using on the 500. So we get to see, okay, well, we know where every pit has a cool spot. You know what I mean? So we figure out this is where this at. We put certain foods there versus in the back. So it's been working out well for us.
Well, it's interesting too that you say that when you designed your own pit, because I think there's a lot of people that listen to these or watch these that don't know how to make the next step, or they've contacted some of these pit makers and they're way out, maybe a year or 2 years. JD's not out that far right now because he's scheduling things like a month or two in advance. But if they can't do that, then I guess you could go the route you did and find yourself a propane tank, find a welder if you know one.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
it's doable.
Yeah, I could see. Yeah, I'm thinking about it now, that the way in your words, it did seem a little crazy to do it that way. It was just all so new to me. I didn't know about a lot of these pit places, you know, that made the type of smokers. I just thought, hey, look, they're all using these kind of types of smokers.
No,
it wasn't that hard to find a propane tank, and you know, living in, you know, Texas, especially the South, there's a lot of welders. You know,
yeah. Where are you located for sure, right?
Yeah, I mean, we're 30 miles north of Corpus Christi in Mathis. It's an industrial type city. You know what I mean? There's just a lot of work going on there as far as industry goes. That's what I did prior to this. I worked at a plant. I did plant work.
It was for what? For jet fuel? Was it for jet fuel? Is that what I?
So I was a unit operator, process operator for one of the major refineries out there, Flint Hills Resources, and I did that when I right out of high school. I mean, it's kind of what I decided to go to school for, more of a trade type thing, and
which is really smart, I think.
Yeah, at 19, I was working at the refinery, kind of like while I was in school. So they allowed me to finish school, and then move into that position when I finally got my
wow.
Yeah, so it was just kind of a cool thing, and I spent 7 years out there between two companies. I did make a switch 4 years after and to a different company within the same plant. I've always, you know what I mean, the barbecue's always been there. I did it with my dad growing up. He did a lot of caterings, cook-offs. He cooked a really good brisket, but he did a lot of the more southern type. He used mesquite.
So was he more direct heat, or was he doing offset stuff?
So he just had a 30-inch straight pipe with a stack, and he would put his coals on one side and put his brisket. He wouldn't trim them. He would just throw some rub on it, and a couple hours in, he would maybe 4 hours in, wrap it in some foil and poke it. And, all right, it's done. You know what I mean? Type.
Exactly.
And it was damn. He won a lot of cook-off competitions with it. So that's, but that was the only kind of barbecue that I knew at least growing up was his. So I started when I was working at the plant. I had a real good friend, Ray Schaefer. He told me about, you know, barbecues. He's like, have you ever been to Austin? And he's like, there's a place called Franklin's. It got the best barbecue in the world. I'm like, what? You know what I mean? Like, come on.
You're like, I've had barbecue. I don't. How could it be different?
How could it be, right? So then I had to know. Like, yeah, people wait in line hours. Like, you're telling me people waiting outside for hours for barbecue. He's like, yeah. I'm like, okay, I gotta go. I just have to. The curiosity was like, what the hell's happening over there? And me and my buddy went for the first time. Isaiah, we left Mathis at 5 a.m. We got to Austin somewhere around 8:15, and then we waited in line until about 1:15, if I recall correctly. And
so you were like halfway back or something, right, in line?
I think I was. I think I was about maybe 30 to 40%. It was on a Friday, so it wasn't too bad. I was blown away. I was like, holy hell! You know what I mean? I was like, everything was just so good, and I'm just like, I started like, it just kind of blew my mind. I'm like, what the hell? I remember telling my buddy Isaiah, I'm like, man, I'm gonna try to make a brisket that good. I want to have a brisket that everything, the pork ribs, the turkey. It was just kind of a different experience for me, because I know it's within the same state, but that barbecue doesn't exist down here. Very well, it didn't, you know what I mean, but back in when I was, what was it, maybe 3 or 4 years ago.
No.
Yeah.
And there's not a ton. There's not a 10 today either.
Yeah. So then I remember coming back and telling my dad. I remember I brought him some. I was like, dude, try this. And he ate it. He was like, and even though it was reheated, he was like, oh, wow. You know what I mean? He's like,
something different. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's just the smoke. I remember it's weird because I don't have much of a taste for it now, being around it so much. But I remember just the saltiness and the pepper, the bark is something that really, like, wow, check out this real crunchy Texas-y style in that, you know what I mean? And then I got to a pork rib. We ate about half of the platter before we realized we didn't even use sauce. So I was like, you know, we didn't get the sauce and hadn't even ate the potato salad. It was just, it was a crazy experience. So we went back again the following year. And then at that point I told I went with my buddy Austin, and I told him,
you went to Austin with Austin.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good friend of mine. And I told him, nobody's doing that down in the South. If somebody would do that, they might, you know, do pretty decent, you know. So then working at the plant, I called my dad one day. I was like, hey, let's get a pit built. You know, let's try and do a little business. I wasn't sure what exactly I was trying to do. I was just like, you know what? I like this barbecue. I want to get a pit built. Let's try.
At least for yourself, right? Like, at least cooking for yourself.
Yeah,
which would be nice. Like, yeah, for friends and family.
Exactly that. I found a local wood supplier out of Orange Grove, which is where I live now. It's about 12 miles from Mathis. It's skipping a hop away. And he had post oak wood. I remember getting on Craigslist, post oak wood, and there's just one guy. You know what I mean? And that's where I've been getting it from ever since. It's been almost 3 years now.
What's the name of his place?
I don't think he has an official name.
Just a guy.
Yeah, he's just a guy that sells wood. That's what he does. He does mesquite and everything. We've been ordering so much, you know, that instead of, he used to bring it back to his yard and stock it, he just goes to his location and brings it back. He goes all the way up to like near LaGrange, somewhere around there.
So now how did you start doing
it? So then we ended up getting the pit built, and then I realized, I was like, hey, let's try and get a business. Let's start a barbecue business. You know, at that point I had already been cooking and felt, you know, confident enough, like, hey, this could sell. We were using, you know, Angus prime brisket, you know, the trimming real well.
Did you watch Aaron's videos, or did you get his book? Or
I seen a few videos. I read the manifesto, the meat smoking manifesto. I got a lot of good tips from there. But it just came down to just doing it over and over and over. I found out that resting the brisket had a lot to do with how the end result is going to be. I learned that very quickly as well. So then at that point, I was like, you know what? I think this is good enough. And we just, one thing happened to him next. Next thing I know, we're opening up.
Really?
And yeah.
Was this last year?
August 5th of 17.
17, just about 2 years ago.
August 5th. It was a Saturday. And
where did you open up? How did you find the spot?
It was in town. So there's a corner spot. It's at an intersection. And it's just been vacant. It had been vacant for at least 3 years prior to us, it used to be a gas station, an old Exxon way back when. And then briefly after that, it became like a tax office for a little bit. And then it just sat vacant in Mathis for years. And it became kind of sort of an eyesore. The grass would get high. There'd be a lot of mud on there if it rained, you know, kind of a trench right through the front. So it was just a vacant lot, and it seemed to be a pretty good spot. There's only three streetlights in Mathis. So
it's a small town.
It was technically as far as the city goes, it's probably the best spot in Mathis. You know what I mean? It's at a section of a highway and Main Street, basically. So there's three streetlights, you'll find us. Just get to the third one.
So did you talk to them about putting it?
I called him, and I asked him, hey, what's the deal with this building? And he's like, yeah, it's for rent. This is, you know, X amount. So I was like, yeah, you know what, let's give it a shot. I tried to just be kind of basic about it. I found a fridge. I knew we would start very, very small, right? Mm-hmm. So I found a refrigerator. I found a hot box. And just kind of just everything that we needed to just really, you know, get the business going. We got to register all our permits in line, and we were just ready to rock. And then that's when it started, you know, and it was 2 weeks.
How did you publicize it? Did you just tell friends or?
Facebook. That's how we still do it. I mean, it's the best to us. It's started so small, instead of buying a, you know, $500-$700 bill, but we couldn't afford that. But what we could afford is a $6 Facebook ad.
Yeah, yeah.
$10 Facebook ad. And you know what I mean? It you just post an ad in certain regions, and it reaches all the people who have Facebook. And so that's how we kind of hit it. And with daily specials, hey, we're going to be open this day. And ever since then, we just kind of stayed in that corner and built around it. We finally put pavement down on it, which was the biggest thing, because it was just mud. And every time it would get messy.
Terrible.
Yeah, it's just, you know, and it's just been a learning experience just from here to then. It's just been a lot of lows, and then a lot of highs as well. You know,
what were some of the lows? Were the lows just days just not selling, or
business in general? You know, this style is just—it's still, even 2 years later, it's still so new, and it's hard for some people to just kind of get a grasp. You know, we run out of meat sometimes. Yeah. We run out, and they just eat meat. It's 4 o'clock on a Saturday. How can you possibly? And I'm like, well, we were just really busy. It's just hard to, you know, to gauge that, and some people get ticked off about it. But then we have a lot of people who are now starting to understand. It's almost daily. We'll get calls, multiple calls. Hey, what do you got left? Hey, where are you at? I'm getting off of work. How many briskets you
see,
might
that's
have?
Great. That's nice.
Yeah. So it's been nice to see that.
What were you selling at first?
So we were selling brisket, pork ribs. We were buying B&B sausage. It's a brand of sausage. We do homemade now, but at that point we didn't make it yet. Chicken, and I think that was it. We weren't doing turkey breasts or beef ribs or barbacoa. We just kind of kept it really basic. With sandwiches, the biggest seller, you know, still to this day is the brisket sandwich. You know what I mean? It has been in the beginning. And
how do you prepare that? Just a basic sandwich, or does it have?
We do a grilled bun with some cold pickles and onions, and we do the pickled jalapenos as well, all the way. We call it all the way, and with or without sauce. And that thing we can't sell enough. We sell a lot of those things.
Well, yeah, and it's like kind of like a perfect like grab and go kind of thing.
So we have a drive through in the back of the building, which is kind of becoming So it's kind of becoming I don't want to say issue, but it is, because on Sundays or even Saturday, just on any given day, if we get, you know, a few families up front and then cars start piling up in the drive-thru, you know what I mean? It's just, it can get a little hectic. Yeah. And people get a little they get a little upset that we're kind of taking a while, you know. So we kind of, sometimes when we get busy enough, we'll have to just close the back window.
Which, yeah, I was going to say, like, you probably have to. There's like almost no way to.
Getting to that. And another thing is like call-in orders are becoming an issue too, because we'll have people be calling in at, you know, at 11 o'clock. Hey, I want to pick up some food at 5 p.m. I'm like, hey, I don't even know if we're going to have food at 5 p.m. So we're thinking about doing like a 30-minute or less call in. Like, hey, if you're going
to
call in.
That's probably smart. Yeah, that's like an interesting thing to balance and try to figure out.
That's where we're at today with it. And then, of course, when Daniel Vaughn came in.
Changed everything. Well, I know that a lot of people out here will only do call-ins for like a whole brisket or a whole rack of ribs or whole. But I don't know if that's even something that can make sense in your area. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm glad you can kind of understand it that way too. But we do. I mean, so the call-ins are like, we'll get a phone call like, hey, do we take this or not, in the hopes that it's something crazy. And then most of the time it's like, hey, it's a chop.
Yeah, can I have a sandwich?
It's a chop sandwich. They'll be here in half an hour or something like that.
Oh, damn.
It's hard to gauge. Yeah. And like I said, it's still so new. So it's just taken people a while to adapt to it. But I think we're moving along, I think, pretty well. And especially with the new article, the top 25, you know, that we're still attracting new customers almost daily. Like, oh, we heard about you in the magazine.
Before we get into that real quick, what's Mathis like, and how far away is it from, say, from San Antonio, Austin, and Houston?
San Antonio, it's about an hour 30, an hour 45. Okay. It's about 100 miles, I think, 110 miles. Austin, you're looking at, it's about a 2.5 hour drive, okay, I'd say, to Austin. So, yeah, no, I'd say a 3 hour drive. Yeah, it's a 3 hour drive.
But that's like Los Angeles to San Diego. People do that. That's not something that's
true. True, but imagine living in Austin and hearing about a barbecue place in Mathis. You're not going to make that trip. Yeah. You know, like, why would I?
That's,
you know,
that's okay. Okay, but on the way to something, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. So we get a lot of people that, hey, we're traveling from Corpus to San Antonio.
True.
And they'll make that, you know what I mean, that cruise through town. Still to this day, a lot of our, you know, most of our business is people from out of town. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, well, how far from Houston then? Is it like the same, about 2-3 hours?
3.5 hours from Houston.
Okay. So you wouldn't be going to San Antonio to Houston and pass through you, would you? Or is that?
You just take 37. So 37 connects from Corpus to San Antonio.
Were you there the day, like, obviously you probably were, that when Daniel showed up, right?
Yeah, it was a Thursday. We had just had a pretty decent lunch rush. And it was weird because it was about maybe 2 o'clock and nobody was there. It's like, it was, you know what I mean? We had just got a lunch. I had just sat down. Claudia, who she works there with me. She's my girlfriend. She helps out when she's not helping at her job.
Yeah.
She had made me a peanut butter jelly sandwich. I hadn't eaten that day. So I'm like, hey, I'm just going to sit down and enjoy the sandwich with a glass of milk. And I, you know, I'm just, and then I'm just sitting there and it just, she's like, hey, I think that guy's here.
I'm
like, what guy? She's like, that guy, the one that you know, the, you were talking about, who judges barbecue or reviews barbecue. I'm like, what the hell, you know? So I get up, and sure enough, there he's. I caught him while he was taking a picture of the front. And I'm like, oh crap, he's here. You know what I mean? And he's here. What do we do? You know what I mean? I was like, shut down the back window. You know what I mean?
For sure.
So he rolls in and just like, hey, let me, you know, looking around and let me get a brisket, turkey, and pork rib plate with an extra side of I think it was rice or something. And a sausage wrap. So I open up my hot box and I'm like, you know, let me, you know, I find the best looking brisket, best looking rack of ribs, and it didn't take long. And I served him what I thought was our best plate. You know, I put a lot of detail in it, and I didn't want to go outside. I'm like, I don't want to go out there. You know what I mean? I don't know if he's gonna lie. I don't know if he's gonna
eat. I know, it's a weird, yeah.
It's kind of like what's he gonna say? He's a critic. He's a food critic. Mm-hmm. So he's doing his job. He's judging what your food is.
He's like the food critic for Texas or the United States for barbecue.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if he says something, you know what I mean? It's just kind of like,
there's a lot of power, yes.
It was a big moment, you know what I mean? It's like, this kind of was the first step or setback of you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The next,
or like the next learning curve, if possible. Yeah.
We hadn't really had a lot of publicity. This is what kind of set that off. Took him driving all the way from Dallas, you know what I mean, come eat a plate, you know what I mean? So
he did talk to you, because there's some details in his article that are kind of details that I know about you, right? So he did chat with you for a bit, right?
Yeah, so I went out to check the fire. You know, I was just trying not to talk to him. I was like, I didn't want to bug, you know what I mean? And I went to go check the pit. We're cooking briskets for the next day, of course, and he called me and said, hey, you know what I mean? Are you Andrew, or are you Butter? I forgot what he asked. I was like, yeah, and then we got to talk, and he goes, first thing, he's like, this, the brisket's awesome, you know, everything is good. The ribs, he started talking about, and the turkey, and he started recording, you know. That's when I was like, holy crap, he's gonna record our conversation, you know what I mean? This is, he's like, all right, tell me, you know what I mean, how you started. And that's when we went over everything, and he wasn't too happy about the rice and the pasta salad, but he I remember him telling, he you know, sitting on his phone all casual, he goes, I just kind of, I put a post on Instagram calling your brisket Franklin-esque, so you're going to have a lot of people coming over here with holy high hell. Expectations. Yeah, he just kind of said it real casual. I'm like, what the hell? You know what I mean? Like, you know? So, and then after that, the next day, you know, we started, it was one day to the next, we started seeing the results of it. And ever since, you know what I mean, we just continued to see that kind of little
city. When was that? Was that early this year?
He came in December of 18, but it wasn't that cold. It just didn't get very cold here often. So ever since then, and then we got a call from the Texas Monthly Magazine about the top 25 thing. And
did they tell you ahead of time?
Yeah, they called about 3 weeks. We just got past the lunch list and like, hey, somebody's on the phone for you. I'm like, okay. I usually expect it to be a call about a quote for a catering or somebody want to pick up some food, et cetera, et cetera. And they're like, hey, this is Texas Monthly Magazine. I'm like, okay, is this a prank call?
You know what I mean? So it's Austin.
Yeah, probably. Right? But it was weird because getting him listing us, you know, making an article and publishing it online, that was enough for me. I'm like, yes, you know, that's the first goal. Yeah, and then they're like, well, he actually made a new list. We were informed, like, hey, you're going to be featured on a list called the top 25 new barbecue restaurants in the state. And I'm like, well, I thought it was a prank call. You know what I mean? I'm like, is this really texting? Like, yes, congratulations, yada, yada, yada. I'm like, what do you need from me? They're like, well, we just, you know, started going over specifics of, like, names and dates.
Hours and all, yeah.
Yeah, exactly, whatnot. And they called us and, hey, it's going to be published on this date. But somewhere along then that, there would have been a article of it leaked online. So they're like, hey, this is what they called. And they're like, this is what we're going to do. We're going to give you a copy of it so you can read it, but just don't show nobody else. And so we were able to see our article on, we got to see all four pages of it.
Oh, that's really cool.
About a week early. And then, you know, that morning, that Sunday prior to that Monday when they released the article, we just sold out. It was like 3 o'clock we sold out, which is unusual for that. We sell out. Around that time, it was about 5 o'clock on Sundays. I kind of was like, hey, we got a big news for you guys somehow via, you know, the Facebook. And then we published it on our end, like, hey, we congrats, you know, we made the top 25, and that was just kind of, we're still completely honored, you know what I mean?
It's a huge thing, and it's a big thing that they've done in between the top 50 list. So it means a lot. And people use this, like this summer, mm-hmm. should be a prime, people will be using this for their travels.
Yeah, so that's kind of the reason we started up on the, well, getting in at the idea of the 1K, the smoker. I was kind of like, I wasn't know if it was foreseeing or kind of just being hopeful about it. You know what I mean? It's like, hey, we need to prep for this. I don't want to lose out. That's when I contacted JD. I had contacted him, man, probably about a year ago, just kind of getting early on, like, hey, if we were to get a pit this day, you know, getting. And I just wanted to make sure that we were going to order it in time for this. I know they take a while. It's a giant smoker coming out of nothing, you know what I mean? So we were able to take advantage of that. And being that we got busier, you know, we got the business, we were able to, you know, fund all this. Those pits aren't cheap by any means.
No, not at all. It's an important investment.
That was a big accomplishment for us, being able to purchase that, you know, that's ours. And it's a damn, it's a great spot. I can't wait to fill it up. I want to fill it up. You know what I mean?
Well, that's also great too, because once, like for people that are making the drive from Austin to see you, you'll have food, chances are, because you have capacity now. That's important.
Exactly. Yeah, no, I mean, we needed it at this point. It's also helped out with like our barbacoa. So we cooked that on Friday and Saturday nights. So Friday for Saturday, and then Saturday we cook again for.
Let's talk about your menu now, because I think I want to talk about the barbacoa, because that's, I'm so interested in that.
Yeah. So we got the prime brisket, our pork spare ribs, and then we do the homemade sausage now. That came from, we got the turkey breast as well now, chicken halves.
Yeah.
Barbacoa on Saturdays and Sundays only morning, started at 9:30. We start selling that. And then the beef rib, which we do every Sunday, the beef short rib.
What's the sausage?
So it's a homemade pork and beef blend. My brother, he would always make sausage for us growing up. He would get deer and, you know, venison and pork sausage. Pretty good stuff. And I don't know why I didn't click early on. Like, hey, maybe we could, you know, we just didn't know. You know what I mean? It's just kind of like, oh, we'll just buy sausage. That was one of the things that But then it got to be like, hey, maybe we can make our own, because we were getting these, you know, these briskets in, and, you know, we trim a lot of fat off them. You know, we trim pork butts, pork ribs even. I was like, hey, instead of throwing it, I just gave it to my brother one day. I was like, here, take this, take some spices, make a sausage. Let's see what, you know, what you can do with it. And it took about 3 months to finally get one that we were both, and we all, you know, we did it. It was unanimous. We all tried it in there between myself, Claudia, my mom, and him. We all needed to be, you know, will this. And we finally came up with the recipe that we felt we could sell. And then along the way, we came up with the same recipe of a jalapeno blend that I actually like better. Very mild. It's got a very good jalapeno
I'm sure it's great.
Yeah, we've been running with that full-time since. It's pretty fair. It's usually the first thing we run out of.
Okay, that's good to know.
Yeah, so if you come in on Saturday or Sunday, our busier day is past 2 or 3 o'clock, you run the risk of not try it. Yeah,
I think I had read that you guys make your own tortillas.
My mom makes tortillas, so my mom's been helping out there since the beginning. It's as cool as working with your mom every day, you know.
Cool that she's making something like it's from fruit.
When we opened up, we're like, hey, let's just serve food that we like, and that what we were kind of used to growing up, and the way we did it was with, you know, tortilla, the brisket taco, which is something that my dad. So he actually had a restaurant in Mathis growing up, but it was a taqueria, Mexican food.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Type style. But being that he did catering and competitions on the side, he threw a brisket taco on the menu. It turned out it was one of his best sellers. And it was just, you know, it's a homemade tortilla with the brisket, pickles, onion, sauce. You know what I mean? It's just a brisket sandwich and a tortilla, basically. But it's a damn good seller. You know what I mean? It's a really good meal, too. It's a brisket taco.
It's hard, nothing,
there's nothing bad about it.
So she makes flour and corn tortillas, right?
So she makes the flour.
Okay.
Yeah, not the corn. So when she started early on, I just told her, hey, mom, you want to help out a couple weeks? I'll hire somebody else after that. And here she is. You know, so come August 4th, that's a Sunday, we're having a 2-year bash, by the way. Cool. But that's her retirement. So we set a date and we're like, hey, you know what I mean? This is going to be it for her. So
it's going to be a two-year plus a retirement party. That's kind of cool.
Yeah,
that's
really exactly. Cool. 2-year retirement party. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, other than that, we just kind of kept it basic with the meats, the sandwiches. We have a couple of sandwiches that people like. Like I said, they're big sellers. They like the chopped brisket.
And then sides-wise, what do you have for sides?
So we have the sides we're running with today are brisket beans. We started with the pinto bean, the salt pork pinto bean, right?
Yeah.
It was kind of basic, and that's another thing that Daniel hit on. You know, they said they're pretty good. So along the way, what we started doing is we changed it up a little bit. We changed the rub that went in there, kept it from more of a basic to more of like a – it's got a few more spices in there now.
Yeah.
Instead of bacon, we put brisket. Anytime – we make a lot of sandwiches, a lot of chopped sandwiches. So anytime there's a little bit of chop, it goes into the beans. So the beans actually get better as the day goes on. The beans you could eat – by himself. We have a homemade mustard and mayo based potato salad. It's predominantly mustard, pickles only, very tangy, very cold. It's more whipped. We're whipping it more these days. It's just, I love the potato salad. The Spanish rice, which is something that's more, you know, southern that we grew up eating, you know, with the brisket, rice beans, and, you know, tortillas, that type thing. So we kind of just left that alone.
Nice.
And my mom loves a pasta salad. So we started trying that out. Those are the kind of ones that we've stuck.
Pasta salad on a hot day is really good.
Yeah, you can eat it by itself. Just kind of cold. It has some chopped veggies in there, like cucumber and whatnot. Yeah. And then my dad had been bugging me about the barbacoa since we opened. Hey, try the barbacoa. It'll sell. I'm like, I don't want to do that. I want to keep it kind of traditional. And then so one day I was like, I talked to my Cisco rep, Paul. And I told him, hey, send me some beef cheeks. You know what I mean? I'm going to attempt this. I'm going to smoke them and, you know, cook them a way that I kind of know how. And we tried it out, and I immediately fell in love with it. Like, wow,
so it's a beef cheek barbacoa.
It's a beef cheek barbacoa. Oh. All we do is we hit it with a little bit of smoke, very simple seasoning, and then we kind of we wrap it up as you would like a brisket, and it cooks all night. So it cooks a full about 22 hours almost. Wow. So we kind of go real slow with it. When we get done with the briskets at nighttime, the guys that are there, they'll close it in, and the bottle cool will stay in the pit, so it just kind of has that real long gradual rest time. And then when Rob gets there, who's our morning time pit master, around 4 a.m., he pulls it and sets it in our hot box for us, and then we start selling it about 9:30.
Do people buy it by the pound? Is that, or by an order?
So we sell it by the half. We try to sell it by the half in full time. We have a lot of people that come in just want, you know, want a taco, but we try to sell it like a more of a package type. So it comes with your choice of corner flour, tortillas, enough to accommodate the pounder, half pounder, whatever, 2 pounds, 4 pounds people have gotten one time, and enough of homemade salsa. My brother, Balenta, who the guy, he makes it. He actually is the one that makes a sausage. He cases it for the – so he makes the salsa, and then our homemade pico de gallo from – yeah, it's a great way. We eat it. That's one of the things that we'll still eat on Saturdays and some Sundays.
Ridiculously good.
It's a good breakfast. It's a good breakfast. And then we do the beef rib on Sunday, the beef short rib. Sunday's only – that is a – it's kind of a – I think it's the best thing we sell, but they're pricey. They're pricey, you know what I mean? So we sell them for around $20 a pound, and they average anywhere from a pound and three tenths to I've sold one at 2 pounds before. I would really like to start selling them on Saturdays as well, but I'm still kind of iffy on that one right now. The margins are so low, and you know there's been times
think people realize how low the margins are on beef short ribs. It's not
on beef in general. On beef in general. Especially the short ribs, those are up there. Those are kind of weird how high those are.
Do you have dessert too?
We're trying it, but not quite. The building that we're in, it's an old tax office. It's about, I think the inside is about 12 by 20. We're crammed in there. You know what I mean? So we don't have a lot
sense right now.
Not right now, but eventually, yes. Eventually, yes.
And what are your hours?
So we open up Wednesday at 11 to 7 or sell out. Same thing on Thursday, Friday. Saturday, come Saturday and Sunday, it's 9:30. We start selling the barbacoa, and we have briskets ready at that time as well at 9:30. Wow. And then we start selling everything else as it comes out of
as
the pit.
As it's ready, we'll
have people coming at 10 o'clock, and I get ribs, and I'm, you know, hey, Rob, how the ribs look? He's like, 10 minutes, or, you know, they're resting, and... You know, so the people are pretty understanding, but by 11 we have everything.
So Wednesday through Sunday, do you guys? And but Saturdays and Sundays now you're selling out like crazy. Huh?
Yeah, Saturdays and Sundays have always been the busier business days. I mean, there's a lake in Mathis, so it's especially now summertime. You got a lot of people traveling through.
Yeah, I saw that when I was pulling up the map. I saw it. It's west, right? West of Mathis.
Yeah, it's about maybe 2 miles outside of town, and I mean, it's something that we grew up in. Born and raised there, it's just, you know what I mean? So, but we realize a lot of people come from out of town and they love barbecue, you know, and it's, we've been fortunate enough to have the publicity through Texas Monthly that, hey, we saw the article.
Yeah. Oh, and then I wanted to get back to the name Butters. It's, can you explain the origin of that?
So we weren't sure what to call the place. We didn't have a name for it yet, but that's actually my nickname is Butters. It came from, I was a big baby, so they say I looked like a butterball turkey when I was born. It was like, so it stuck. It stuck. My Uncle Mike, my late Uncle Mike gave that one to me, and it stuck ever since. Anybody from teachers, best friends, that's kind of how they knew me.
They call you Butters or Butterball?
Butter, just Butter, or Butter, different variations of it. So then we were kind of deciding the name, but like Claudia, she goes, just call it Butters. I'm like, hey, you know, that's kind of got a nice...
I like that.
You know, ring to it. So we just call it Butters Barbecue. So,
well, isn't there a phrase like it's like butter? Like it's like something's like butter. Like if it's
people think that they're like, oh, do you use butter in your recipe? Well, like, we actually do, but it's not the reason why. It's just we get that a lot.
Well, I'm so happy. Like this is an interesting. I think people will find your journey interesting because it wasn't like something deliberate. It kind of happened along the way, and you used resources and you figured out things and you've even like how you found your location. I think it's great because there's a lot of people that listen to this that are future restaurant owners, or they think about it, or they you know they're barbecuing on the side and they want to do this. And do you? It's a lot of work though, right?
Oh yeah. Once we started, I just kind of had a newfound respect for not only business owners, small business owners, and restaurant owners. people want good food. You know, that's the bottom line. We eat every, so they want good food, and barbecue is it's tough. You know, mm-hmm. people doing it the way we do it with, you know, real wood with the real pit, trying to keep that quality consistent.
The consistency is tough. Yeah.
Day in and day out. So I've never owned a restaurant before. I've never owned a business before. This is just kind of all new to me and new to this and to my crew and I. So it's kind of like my guess is just as good as theirs.
Yeah.
I just happen to love barbecue. So it's kind of like a group type thing. So just trying to keep it consistent and selling a product that people want at an affordable price. You know what I mean? It's been that little ongoing, you know, people trying to serve the quality, but trying to keep it cost effective. At least we're doing daily specials, you know what I mean? In the meantime, the beef market is always up and down, up and down, up and down.
So you need to make sure you price it properly so that way you don't go out of business.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly that. So we're always kind of looking for ways to improve, whether it be from the business standpoint to down to a cooking standpoint. We still try to look for new ways, new ideas, new fun things, new resting techniques. I remember we changed up our resting techniques on the brisket and we started getting better results. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, resting them a little longer, how we wrap them, just things along that nature. It's still all new to us. We're still seeing new things almost weekly or daily and taking it all in stride. You know what I mean?
Well, that's I'm hoping that from people listening to this or watch this, they want to make the drive and give you guys a chance, because number one, the food sounds fantastic. It does. And and to meet you and your crew, that's, you know, that's a fun trip for people.
Yeah, no, they get a kick out of it. We get a lot of good reviews on you know, we try to be very, you know, customer service friendly, mm-hmm. and, you know, try to treat everybody the same. It doesn't matter if you come to get a chopped sandwich or you're going to come get a family package to feed 12 people. You know, we're going to kind of give you and just kind of give that attention to detail to every plate, every sandwich, everything. You know what I mean? I cut the meat daily. So luckily for myself, I get to see what's everything. Going, you know, so there's been times where I've been like, hey, I don't like the way this brisket looks. I'm going to take the loss on this, save it for chopped beef or something. And I care about customer service. Right now, this was early on. Like, hey, I'd rather keep them as a customer than serve them this food. I don't care about the product at this point. I need to kind of build the name. And ever since then, it's just kind of just been a learning process. I still think our best days are ahead of us. You know, we plan on having a real establishment. Right now, we just have outdoor seating. So one way or another, I want to get a place where people can come sit down. It's hot down here in South Texas.
Yeah, you need somewhere of that kind of cool.
a few weeks ago, we were actually in South Texas. It was actually hotter than it was in Death Valley. It was wicked hot. You're talking about 99, 100 degrees, and then a heat index of like 114.
Oh, it was
miserable. A lot of people didn't come out and sit out to eat, and I mean, I understood why. I want them to know that nobody feels worse about that than us. You know what I mean? Yeah. But I would love to just go and build this giant type restaurant and everything, but it's just not feasible right now.
I think you will. I think you're on the road. I think for sure.
Yeah, I mean that's kind of the goal. Like I said, I still like we have the capacity now, being with the new pit, and we have our old smokers. So if hopefully, you know, it just kind of keeps seeing that increase like we have been recently since the article came out.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for taking the time and for sharing your story. And I can't wait to visit you.
I'm glad we finally got to do it, man.
It's awesome. And I'll text you when I'm in town. So that way, because I'll come down from Austin for sure.
I
really, really want to visit you. So that's this is really cool.
Appreciate that, Kevin.
Thank you. You have a great week, and I'll talk to you very soon.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Kevin. We'll see you.
Cool.